opportunity that we can assemble together in a fashion like this to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I appreciate the presence of every single one of you. And that's encouraging to me, and hopefully we encourage one another. This evening I want us to think about inspired charges. All of these are taken with the exception of one from the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. Our first one is going to come from 1 Thessalonians. I was looking back at my calendar, and if I've preached this one before, I don't think it's in the recent months, but if so, then you have probably already forgotten about it. And so it'd just be a nice reminder for you if you have. We'll take a little step aside from our lesson series on the members of our bodies and continue that, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. The word charge has the idea to attest or to protest earnestly. If you were to look that up in a Bible dictionary of words, and that's what you would find in Strong's. And there's a number of charges that the Bible puts forth. And these are emphatic statements giving a charge. And of course, when Paul is writing to Timothy in 1 and 2 Timothy, and then he's writing to those of Thessalonica in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he's writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so he's getting this word by inspiration, that is, it came from God through the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit to Paul, and he's writing these things for their benefit and for our benefit too. So I want us to think about some charges that Paul gave to Timothy and to the Church of Christ at Thessalonica. Notice first of all with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and notice this first charge that we can learn from. We've said much about this lately, but that's fine. It just bears repeating. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 27, Paul gives a charge, and here's what it is. I charge you, he says, by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. How important do you think it was for these individuals to obey what Paul had said? When he gave this charge and said, I charge you that this epistle be read. And that's the way things were in the first century. We've got to appreciate the fact that copies of the Bible are just readily available. They weren't in the first century. Of course, at this time, the entirety of the revelation had been given. And so when these Bible writers wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they sent it with people were dependent upon the reading of that. You learn that very well from the first chapter of the book of Revelation. But we've got to read, as I mentioned to you in a recent sermon, the Word of God. Oh, how love I thy law, the psalmist declared. It is my meditation all the day, Psalm 119, verse 97. Of course, in Nehemiah 8:8, I recently brought out for you the importance of reading the Word of God. I charge you, therefore, Paul is saying, that you read this to all the holy brethren. We've got to spend time in reading the Word of God. You know, you may say, well, we have a copy of the Bible. Well, most folks have more than one copy of the Bible. But you know, I would know nothing about what Paul penned to Timothy, and I would know nothing of what he wrote to those of Thessalonica, except I do what? Except I read it. And just because we have copies, multiple copies of the Bible, doesn't mean that we know what the Bible says. We are still dependent upon reading the Word of God. And so we've got to do that. And I'm convinced that a lot of the error that's taught today, even among churches of Christ, is a result of folks not reading the book. They read what man says about it. They take what man says about it and say, well, that sounds pretty good to me. I'll just go with it. That won't work. You've got to know what the book says. Now, does that mean I know everything the book says? No, it's a lifetime of learning for any of us. I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, I will go to my grave having not learned everything that the Bible says. If there came a time where I could not grow, I could not add to the things that I have learned thus far, then there'd be no room for growth. And 2 Peter 3:18 admonishes all of us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a lifetime of learning. As we think about divine or inspired charges, come with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and begin reading with me in verse 1. 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, now what's this charge? That thou mightest charge some. Now, Paul, I want to know what it is that you have charged Timothy or told Timothy to charge some about. To charge some that they teach no other doctrine. We live in a time where thinking among many is that any doctrine goes. Doesn't matter. It's no consequence. My ears perk up when I hear individuals make a statement and say it is of no consequence. What do you mean it's of no consequence? I'm not talking about what color the carpet is. I could care less what color the carpet is or the walls. But when it comes to the book of God, don't have that mentality. It's of no consequence. That'll get you into trouble. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, when you talk about the steadfastness of the Word of God, the doctrine of the Lord, you notice what Paul says when he says, I marvel that there's some that have moved you or troubled you. Some of you moved from the great calling from Him, rather, who called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, he says, which is not another. Someone says, well, I thought there was no other gospel. That's the point, Paul says, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You think there's folks today that would have you to be troubled? Well, sure there are. Or that would want to pervert the gospel of Christ? You better believe it. But he writes unto them, and notice what he says. And this nails down for us the steadfastness of the Word of God, how strong it is, how unchanging it is. He says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Acts 13 is a passage I love as we look at different ways in which the doctrine of the Lord is stated, right ways of the Lord, the doctrine of the Lord, and so forth. Teach no other doctrine. There's a lesson that I've been engaged in on the TV and radio, and been dealing with believing lies. You know, that was one of Israel's problems, was trusting and believing in lies. And there's a passage over in the book of 1 Kings chapter 13, the first 24 verses was our context for those lessons. Well, here was a man, I won't give you all of it, I plan on doing it as a sermon here, but here was a man of God who was told to go and cry out against the altar which was at Bethel. He did so, and the king said, come and go home with me. But the man of God said, no, because I was told by the word of the Lord to not drink, not eat anything, and not to even go back the way that I came. So he won't go with the king. He said, you need to give me half your house. But then some of those that were present on that occasion, whose father was an old prophet in Bethel, went and told their father about what had took place. And he said, which way did he go? Well, they told him. He got on his ass and went after the man. And he came to the man and he said, come home with me and refresh yourself. The man of God said, no, because I've been told not to. Don't eat, don't drink, don't go back the way you came. But notice what the old prophet said to him. I myself am a prophet like you are. And an angel came to me and told me to bring you home with me. But the last part of verse 15 says, but he lied to him. And the man of God went with him, and as a result of that, he was slain in the way by a lion. There is dangers in believing in lies. It's been the case from the beginning, and it's still true down to this very time. So teach no other doctrine, believe no other doctrine. That's a solemn charge that Paul gives to Timothy. But also in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, this charge, Paul says, I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went on before thee, that thou by them, now watch this, mightest war a good warfare. We've talked about recently about being a soldier in the Lord's army. Paul talked about that not only here, but in other places. He wrote to Timothy and talked about that. In Ephesians chapter 6, there's an entire text that talks about the fact that we don't wrestle against fleshly things, but against spiritual. And then he lists the armor of God. Take unto you the whole armor of God. And he goes down through those pieces. Makes a good study, a good sermon. That will just about preach itself. As he talks about all that armor that is needed to stand against all the fiery darts of the devil. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 3. 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. All of you that are engaged in doing the work that God would have you to be doing, you endure hardness. Of course, Paul is writing to Timothy, who is an evangelist. And Paul writes about the hard things that came upon him. You can read about many of them in the book of Acts, from Acts 13 on through the rest of the book. And then he writes about them at length in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the things that came upon him. And I will tell you that if you're going to do the Lord's work, you are going to have to endure hardness. You're not always going to be treated kind. And I don't say that just to say, well, have pity on me, I've not been treated well. But I'm just telling you that if you do the Lord's work, don't expect that folks are going to make it easy for you. They're not going to. They're going to do what they can to divert your attention. And you're going to have thick skin and have the understanding that make a covenant with yourself. And we talked about this morning, a covenant with your eyes, but you're going to have a covenant with yourself and be strong and steadfast with the Lord. And you're not going to let folks sidetrack you. War of good warfare. But also he says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 21. 1 Timothy 5:21, I charge thee. Here's another charge. We're talking about inspired charges. Just noticing what Paul wrote to Timothy and stated, and those at Thessalonica. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things. I love reading through as we just stop there and think before you even read on. Reading 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus and just reminding myself what it is that an evangelist is supposed to be doing. What a preacher does. The work that I do is different from the work that elders do and deacons do. And we've constantly got to be reminded about that. I know that I do. Lest I have the mindset that so many do today, and it's easy to get in the mindset. I've talked with you before about being a keeper of the aquarium instead of a fisher of men. And to realize and to understand that we've got to be concerned about the work that is out there. Yes, there's work to be done within these walls. The primary work of an evangelist is to be done outside of these walls. And there's just some things that other folks have to do that don't tie down the work of an evangelist. Someone says, well, preacher, I've never heard of such. Well, come over to the book of Acts with me. A passage that I appreciate so very much, beginning in verse 1, is a little side trip. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. The apostles had a particular work that they had to do. This church had already been established. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now watch verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. Well, why didn't the apostles just drop doing what they were doing to tend to these other things? Were the other things important? Well, sure it was. They addressed it. But it was addressed and handled in a particular way. And gospel preachers, evangelists, has a particular work that they've got to be about doing. And I'll just tell you, I don't mind helping individuals and all that I can. Someone may call me up and say, I need to have a ride or I need to do something, and you help me do it. I don't mind at all to do that. I think you know that. But my priority is on evangelism. And there's some things that preachers and businesses cannot afford to get tied down in. And I think we all appreciate that. And that's the charge that Paul is giving to Timothy. Observe these things. That's right. First Timothy 5:21. And the elect angels, again, observe these things without preferring one above another, doing nothing by partiality. The things that Paul penned to Timothy to observe, he had to observe. And you don't prefer one above another. James 2:1-9 talks about partiality. We can't be partial in which commandments of God we're going to keep, and we can't be partial relative to showing respect of persons to individuals. Acts 10:34, that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. Number 5. In 1 Timothy 6:13. I give thee charge. Here's another charge. I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before that, in verse 19, he had just talked about. He talked about fleeing some things, following some things. He talked about, in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Keep this commandment without spot. It is a full-time job for any of us to keep our lives without spot. And that's an individual commandment, James 1:27. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Luke 6:46 also points out. I've got to take heed to myself. You know who else has to? You. All of us do. Let's think about divine charges. 1 Timothy 6:17. Charge them. Well, Paul's been writing to Timothy and giving him some charges and some things that God charged others, and some things were personal charges for it. Now notice this. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Don't be high-minded. Romans 12:3. Not to think a man above that which is written. James 4:7. To be humble. James often talks about that numerous times in his epistle. Charge them that are rich to not be high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the power of the living God. One more point. The charge that is found in 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee. Here's to Timothy. There's just a ton. If you go through 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, and you think about, I wonder what it is that maybe some of you, I want to be a preacher. I think I want to start preaching. And what is it that preachers do? You go through these three books and you just underscore. Some of you have done that. I know. And you underscore the things that Paul is instructing Timothy to do. I did that for 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. And broke it up into two columns on personal charges and then charges related to others and the work that Timothy and Titus was to be doing. And there are many of them. 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant. In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Some versions say teaching, same thing. Preach the word. There's a lesson I'm currently working on the type of preaching that individuals need to hear today. And I'm convinced many folks are longing for. And we'll take a look at that sometime in the future. 1 Corinthians 9:6. When Paul writes in that passage, though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Well, Paul did a lot of things. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. I may have told you 6. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Paul was busy about doing that, ill-treated. But he said, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself would be a castaway. 1 Corinthians 9, 27. Hope that the lesson's been a benefit to you as we've talked about inspired charges. Read through those books and study these charges. Think about the application. Make them in your daily lives. If you're here tonight having never obeyed the gospel of Christ, I encourage you to do that. I gave you the plan of salvation this morning. You think it's changed between this morning and this evening? It hasn't. Never will. Hearing the gospel, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you have done that, but you turned your back on the Lord, you've not been faithful, you have an opportunity to be restored by repenting of your unfaithfulness, making confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you, and for you, don't delay. Come right now.